Let's do that hockey.
And Pettersson had it knocked off his stick, tries to dive to keep it alive. So Lindholm, Miller, and Pettersson to finish the regulation time, it looks like. Here is Lindholm looking to shoot at the post. DT Miller scores!
Trust the process.
Trust the process.
Ladies and gentlemen, and sports fans of all ages, welcome to the Swear Word Party. Trust the process. Vancouver's sixth best Canucks related show, but the number one Canucks 76ers NFL pro wrestling movies, TV, music, and pop culture extravaganza. Please welcome your hosts, Wyatt the Stanchion Art and Jay Bowman.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Trust the Process, part of the Hockey Podcast Network, an awesome assembly of shows covering every team in the NHL and a whole lot more. Follow the network at HockeyPodNet on Twitter for new episodes of your favorite shows every day. Speaking of your favorite shows, welcome to TTP and welcome to the Swear Word Party.
Bitch!
I am Jay Bowman, and I'm joined, as always, by the Napoleon of writing,
that's right,
the Don Draper of pen and paper,
yeah,
the flightless bird of the written word,
Pelican fly, come on, Pelican,
the guru of gifts,
woohoo,
the flu game phoenix, the magistrate of free the skate. He's got a post full of notches from your jersey botches. No need to worry, here comes Mr. Surrey. Wyatt Arndt, the Stanchion. Wyatt, how are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic. My Surrey Eagles, my beloved Surrey Eagles. Close enough.
All birds sound the same. Yeah. There's that, and then there's seagulls, and that's it. There's two bird sounds.
Yeah, okay. My Surrey Eagles are kicked the shit out of the Penticton Vs tonight. 6-0. Game one.
Oh!
Game one of the finals. So it feels good. Canucks are doing pretty good. Overall, life's going pretty good until I realized I had to spend an hour with you. Boom, roasted. And yeah, other than that, pretty good.
Welcome back. Yeah, great. Well, we're okay. So there's a lot of positivity coming from you, and then bam, there comes the dagger.
There's the right hook.
The Stanchions send their regards. Yeah, well, we'll kick it off, you know, obviously talking about the Blue Jays. We're about maybe 20 games into the 300-game baseball season. And what does Vladimir Guerrero need to do to get going on this team, Wyatt?
I mean, that's what everyone's here to ask us about, and I've been thinking about it for days. What are we doing here? Come on, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Fuck that. Yeah, it's playoffs, baby. It is round two. We are recording this. Jay hates it when we date the shows, but
That's right!
We're recording this.
Game five just ended.
The day after game five, we're in the in-betweensy times. Game six is going to be, later on today. Look at us.
Hey, look at us.
Yeah. Between the Canucks and the Oilers, it's Trust the Playoffs, a special edition of Trust the Process. Let's get it going, man. Canucks in seven. Let's hit it. All right, now I'd be remiss if I didn't mention and throw a nice little shout out to Al Murdoch, the real voice of Trust the Process. The show's on Spotify, the show's on iTunes, and I know we've been kind of in and out during the playoffs. You have been absolutely putting the team on your back, putting the army on your back with your stanchies for every playoff game this year so far, and you've got the NEW wrestling show, so yeah, Wyatt's been out there cooking, folks. So we can't, you know, commit to like weekly episodes or anything, but it doesn't matter when we do shows, doesn't matter when you listen, because anytime
is a good time for the swear word party.
Woo!
Wyatt, things are good right now, yeah? Like a year ago, would we have taken this absolutely in a trade?
Yeah, this is been everything I think everyone kind of hoped from a playoff run. Even getting out of the first round, and that alone felt like a win, just in terms of, yeah, we got to experience playoff hockey again.
Yeah.
Anything could happen. The Oilers could come back and win this and like that. But the fact they took them to seven, if that happens, is still like, what a tremendous season. The fact that we've got just, like, I've talked about it a lot during the season, that the playoffs make things matter. Like, whatever happens, like, those last 9 years were, things happened that were fun, but they didn't matter. Nothing really stood out. Now these things will forever be kind of embedded in people's memories. These moments, like, you went to the game with your mother, right? And
holy,
you got to see that game,
shit,
right?
Did I ever? Right? Should have gotten her for the show.
Yeah, like, honestly, I'd love to have her on. Like, that's the thing where, like, that you have that core memory now. Like, we're making core memories with things that are happening right now. I had a friend who went to the game for the first time in forever. He was there for game five, and like that JT Miller goal is going to be there forever. Even someone who's there and like you're watching, you know, with your friends, and even at the game, just watching with your friends, and you see like what Zadorov's been doing. You get his Zadorov jersey. You like, remember, that'll be something people remember. Remember that run Zadorov had? Like, these are now core memories for people. They are things that matter. And it's just like, this is what's been missing in the city for so long. So just seeing all these people kind of get together, fight, even fighting with Edmonton, it can be a bit much, but fighting with Edmonton, like, you know, at least there's a reason we're fighting, right? Everyone's fighting because, yeah, like, the playoffs are here. Like, things matter. You can make fun of them. Like, you can't make fun of everyone else when you're missing the playoffs.
We're
it's
not
tough.
Angry at a ball for being chosen in a lottery instead of our ball.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, we're not arguing with, like, Eddie Lack over the Coyotes.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, it actually, like,
the
stuff.
The who?
Yeah. Sorry, the Utah, well, I don't know what they're going to be called. The wet spots, whatever they're going to be called, but the thing about right now with the playoffs is that you're just watching these moments, and even JT Miller, like, again, go to Al Murdoch. Like, he's brought, and I told him himself, he's bringing some like wrestling pizzazz to this. Like, when he did the JT and let the crowd fill out the Miller for that game winning goal, loudest I've heard that. Like,
I screamed to the heavens would be an understatement.
Yep.
I yelled JT, and then I just looked up at the ceiling, arms in the air, and with everything I had, screamed Miller.
Right? And like, that's like, there are people that are no longer with us, like, people are gonna remember, like, I wish to get Miller for this run, but there's people also have like kids in their lives are experiencing it for the first time, and there's just so many memories being made from people that are gonna remember this run. And I'm not trying to make too big, obviously the cup's always the end game, but I think when you get a bit older, you realize that like the journey really is, you know, the fun of it all. Like, just remembering it, like 2011, very sad. 24 is very sad they didn't win, but like, we still talk about 2011 because we had core memories from those times.
94, same 94, thing.
94, same. Core,
yeah,
memories from that time, right? So these things matter, right? Like, that's the same thing. Like, when they're chanting, let's go Petey. And I said in the stanchions as well, when I was younger, I would have, like, shit all over that. Like, fuck, you just need this. What are we doing, this little baby? But no, man, like, that's a fucking cool moment for a fan base to get behind this guy who's struggling. And he himself said he wants to play harder for them. Like, that fans are literally impacting a player, and he played better and said, admit, I wanted to play harder for them. And that's such a cool show of support. And like, we're in a very kind of like, you know, cynical world at the best of times. And now you've got a fan base just saying, fucking yeah, let's go Petey. Like, that's a cool moment, right? Like, there's so many things that have happened in this run that like I'm going to remember is like, those are cool fucking times.
Yeah, let's hear like the Pettersson comments on that, because he was obviously like pretty emotional. And that comes on the heels of like a presser, which was, to call it low energy,
yeah,
is being very, very generous. And that inspired me. I've reached out to you, and I've got a group chat on Twitter with some of the basketball fellas who also, there's crossover with the Canucks. And I talk about, you know, we talk about the comparables to the Sixers and the Canucks all the time. And I've seen this song and dance before, of a former rookie of the year, very touted prospect who was an absolute star and then had confidence issues. And then the team kind of came in and, or the fan base tried to uplift him and tried to, you know, get him going and encourage him and cheer for him and stuff. And then signed a max contract. People felt he was paid too much, wasn't living up to it, and had the yips. And I sent that text to you, and then you responded with, I laughed so hard. You're like, and also is big in fashion. Because Pettersson has been the Ben Simmons of this, yeah, like team for this playoffs, and I'd say the second half of the season, right? So to have that happen, to have the crowd get behind him and him going for his little scoot afterwards,
yeah, that was amazing. Just like,
so
zone it out, go for
great.
A scoot.
And the lore, we're just adding to the lore. It's great. But let's hear Pettersson's comments on what that meant to him.
It means lots. Always encouraging to have the fans behind you, or I always have that here, but just to hear them chant my name and yeah, just makes me want to work even harder for them.
It's a tough market, but the market will love you if you are lovable. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what people say about Philadelphia as well. Like, they'll fucking jump on Tobias Harris, and they'll jump on Embiid when he's being shitty. But when Embiid does his Embiid things, people are all about it. When Zadorov is doing his Zadorov things, he is beloved. He is a monolithic figure in the city. JT Miller, same thing. The legend of Shelovs.
Yeah.
In this playoff phase so far. Like, because, you know, a lot's been said about playing in a Canadian market and the pressures and everything, but I forget who said it, but somebody said, it might have been JT Miller, said, like, post-game, like, that passion you maybe don't find there, and when things are going, like, well and people care and people support you, it means the world to them.
Oh, that's the thing. It means so much more. Like, again, we've talked about it before in the show. Whatever team wins the Cup first for Vancouver will be legends for the rest of their life. So if you talk about legacies in that, like, they will be legends in the town, and no one will ever forget them. And that's something that's kind of cool to hang your hat on. And to know that you were the ones that brought, like, that first cup to a town that's been dying for it, right? Like, it's the same thing with, like, the 2004 Boston Red Sox. Like, they're always going to remember that first team that did it. They're going to be like, fuck, that team's going to be remembered forever, right? So
it's remembered forever. Like, here, Dave Roberts, man.
Yeah.
Stealing those fucking bases, man.
I think of that a lot.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Dave Roberts. I think about that run. I think about Dave Roberts first.
Yep. And that's the thing, like, all these little moments, and you can be a hero. Like, even, like, Zadorov and, like, the fucking making, like, the wah noises. Like, this guy is made for Vancouver.
Sir, I can only get so erect.
Like, it's incredible watching, because he does everything that, like, you kind of, like, tell the TV that you want someone to do, and he's doing it. Like, he's one of us. He feels like he is from Canucks Twitter. It's amazing.
He's Canucks Twitter, like, embodied on the ice, and it's incredible. And, like, he had a relatively, I guess, a quiet season, you could say. Like, he's been a monster in the playoffs.
Yep.
But he had his good games, he had his bad games and stuff, but here's a guy absolutely built for the playoffs and is just on a hell of a run. Like, this guy, you talk about people selling jerseys. I tell you right now, I am anxiously awaiting the Zadorov extension, and then, boom. Okay, so we'll get the black skate Zadorov for sure.
Yep.
Then I think I could go with a white Orca Zadorov as well. Like, in my mind, he's selling me multiple jerseys right now. That's how much I'm loving him.
Well, I mean, that's the thing about, like, even Tyler Myers. Like, look at how he's playing. He's been a beast in these playoffs, too. Like, I know when a player is playing well, when the other team's fan base can't fucking stand them, they hate Tyler Myers. They fucking hate him.
Fucking hilarious, because, like, we've spent the last however many years hating Tyler Myers.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, you talk about the markets like Philadelphia, like, can't remember which player it was, but he was, like, audibly swearing. I vaguely remember that story, the baseball player, like, he was like, fuck, he was all mad on Mike, but then, like, he owned up to it. Like, when you're real, like, hardcore fan bases love you for it. That's, I think, why JT Miller, people love him, because he can be brusque and arrogant, but he's also, like, just real about how he talks about things.
Yeah.
And Tyler Myers, to his credit, he would be an 8-0 loss. He would be on the goal for three of them. He'll sit there and talk for 10 minutes about it. Like, he owns up to everything.
Yep.
And he survived this market. So it's like, it feels like a real good story that this guy has now kind of, like, discovered his form, playing on this team, and everyone loves him. Like, now people, people were counting down the days until his contract was done. People were planning parties for when his contract was going to be over with his team. There were heavy debates, like, OEL or Myers, who to get rid of? And now people want him back. Like,
yeah, we got. I'm one of them.
Yeah, bring him back. I want him back for Chaos Draft alone. That branding has been my favorite things. But, like, people want him back because his play. Like, when he's on the ice, I feel calm, and I've never felt that before.
Like, here's the thing. Like, in this series and even in the Nashville series, that was kind of something in the back of my head. So there's two things with, like, this. Let's just use this series as an example. It's like, all right, McDavid and Draisaitl not necessarily playing super well, but there's going to be that moment where they're going to fucking turn it on and take something over, right?
Yeah.
I've also had in the back of my head before, but now it's gone, that Tyler Myers is going to fuck up at some point and do something really stupid and cost us a game. And what are we, how many games in now? Like 11? And nope. Hasn't happened.
Anything that's, like, been done against this team, I think, has been taken on by Ian Cole, which is, you know, good for him, I guess. But, like,
the lightning rod, Ian Cole.
What a bad series. Like, in turn, you just, like, luck-wise. And, like, he's also, like, I think they are asking a lot of a guy that we've seen it during the regular season when you play him a lot. Sometimes he needs that day off because he's an older guy, right? He's a veteran defenseman. He's not the fastest guy to begin with. He's our beer league buddy. Like, we all recognize the signs of, like,
oh, yeah,
that guy had to work the night before. He's tired.
Yeah.
And so, like, he got beat pretty bad. So he almost wanted to take a game off so he can rejuvenate himself. But then you see what, like, Noah Jolson did the last game. Like, yeah, that's a tough spot for Noah to be in, to just throw him in out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So, like, you kind of, like, for the again, the penalty kill went 5-for-5, so, and Ian Cole's a part of that. So I don't think he's at any risk of being taken out of the lineup. But you're just watching him, and obviously the deflections are bad luck. But there's also been plays where he's just, like, tired. He can't catch up. He's getting beat in the cycle where you're, like, he's the guy struggling right now. So you kind of worry about that end of things. But overall, like, game five clearly was the best game this team has played. And I think JT Miller talked about how, like, Shelovs has been amazing, right? But the team, and you know it too, when you've got a guy in net that you don't, maybe don't know as well, don't trust, no, you play a bit safer in front of him, right? You want to make sure that you can kind of protect him a bit. They know they're facing Edmonton. You know, they've got this high-powered offense. So I think the team consciously tried to play a bit safe in front of him. Like, let's try and protect him a bit because we don't leave him out to dry.
Yeah.
And game five, if I think Miller spoke to that, like, we were respecting Connor maybe a little too much, and they kind of went at them in game five and said, you know what? We trust Shelovs now. And it worked fantastically. Like, they... I think Chuck Knobloch from the Oilers coach said, like, any team looks like shit when you're chasing the play. And they did. And the Oilers looked like shit. And they looked like they were tired. Looked like they couldn't get out of the zone. And when you have more time to move the puck because they're tired, all of a sudden the Canucks' zone exits were crisp and clean. They had time make a pass. They weren't hurrying it. Like, any good player in the world can look like shit when you're hurrying him to make a pass and he makes a bad pass. Even Quinn Hughes, when he's hurried, sometimes makes bad passes. If you give NHL players time and space, all of a sudden they look like fucking stars.
Yeah,
like, throughout the lineup, and that's what we saw. Like, that fourth line, best line for the fourth line we've seen in months. Like, it, the entire third period, and I was worried about it. It felt like the Canucks were just bringing the heat. Like, they were the better team by far. But the Dan Kluche PTSD me, I'm like, oh god, just one shot, right?
Yeah,
you wonder about that.
Yep.
But the Canucks kept pressing, and then they ended up winning. So it's like, I think Game Six is gonna be really tough for them. I think Edmonton's gonna bring every fucking single thing they have, and I don't know if Vancouver's gonna win that one, but I think if it goes to a game seven, like, you feel confident that this team can, like, find a way to not lose two in a row, and we'll see what happens. But end of the day, like, that game five was one of the most confident, inspiring games I've seen, because you're like, that's the Canucks we know. And if they decide to kind of go for it a bit more, if that's now unlocked that inside of them, like,
yeah,
you feel really good about your chances in this series.
Because coming out of game four was really interesting because, okay, so I thought it was really backbreaking for the Canucks to get that 4-minute power play.
Yeah.
But for them to only muster one shot from that, like, oof, that's not great at all. And then again, same thing where they're kind of getting shelled a little bit, but then they came back and tied it up late 6-on-5, and it's like, well, here comes that Canucks magic again.
Yep.
But then they got passive.
Yeah.
And a lot has been made, and you made a lot of stanchions of everybody fucking shit up on that zone exit and phoning it in and how disastrous that was. That's why I was really interested to see what would happen in game five, because that's the first time the Canucks have really had their, like, backs broken.
Yep.
And has the magic maybe run out a little bit, and how's that going to impact the team psychologically? That's where Tocchet's got to, like, kind of get him going. And then we talk about JT Miller with the, you know, I use the air quotes, like, the sorry text, you know, to, it was more of an accountability text for blowing the zone like that. And then they come out for game five and Edmonton comes out hot. That thing should have been like 3-0 early, and Shelovs had to step up, make some really really big saves. But then now you kind of look at the emotional momentum and what this has now done to Edmonton, where that, like, da bomb play, that silver bullet in your gun, your power play, referees doing everything they can to give you those opportunities to get your power play and score your goals. You had been, they were 100% going into the game with their power play, right? Or close to it.
Close
in the series?
Yeah.
And now you've gone throughout the game 0-for-5. You're
only
tired.
Only three shots.
You're tired. The Canucks have these controlled zone exits. Your shit's not working. You played your superstars too much early in the series, and then you lose a backbreaker at the end, and the Canucks have that emotional magic again. Like, the swings in this series especially, that's a great response from the Canucks, changing up the lineup, getting rid of a couple passengers. Some of those folks who were out, it was driving me absolutely nuts to watch them play. If I see Mikheyev go after Kress again, I'm gonna fucking lose it.
Mikheyev has been awful, and, like, I, again, like, there's gonna be a big debate, like, how much do you need to help out your star players, and, like, a star player should be able to run any line, and there's some, you know, I agree to some level of that, but you also want to help your star players out, right? You do, and especially if they're struggling. And, you know, we don't know if Pettersson's injured or not, but if you watch his shot, there's literally no flex on it whatsoever. Like, he's sweeping it towards the net. Like, if you, I would be blown away if he doesn't have some sort of injury, because his shot is nowhere near what we know it to be. And so if he's the main guy in a line with two guys that can't fucking score to save their lives and he has to do everything, he's going to struggle and it's going to get in his head. And I think mentally he is a bit fucked. Obviously, you saw that press conference. Like, he's down being injured is probably not easy for him, and the fact that he can't produce anything, like, you've got to help him out. And that's what Kotkaniemi did, gives him Lindholm. Höglander comes in rejuvenated, and all of a sudden that was the best we've seen from Pettersson all series along. Like, he's making moves. He's starting to try and beat guys with his skating.
There was a moment when they're breaking the zone or on their side of center ice early in the game where he put it between his legs and made, it was this very subtle move, but I hadn't seen anything like that from him in the playoffs, like, so far. And, like, and it worked, and it was really crisp and really good. And I'm like, oh yeah, he's scooting. That scooter ride definitely helped. This is a different Pettersson, and that permeated throughout the entire game. I thought he was, like, at times a little bit regressed in the third period, a little. Didn't seem to have the jump he did in the first and second, but obviously, you know, sprawling to try and hold the zone at the end, which led to the rainbow pass and kicking it off the skate. Like, yeah, it was the best game he's had all playoffs, like, by far. And you got to wonder, have the Canucks face the worst of it internally now and can start putting together, like, a 60-minute effort? Because it's not a secret to anybody that a lot of these games they've won, they maybe didn't necessarily deserve to, or they show up for 15 minutes, the fast 10 minutes and stuff. And that was, like, almost a complete game effort from them in Game 5, and couldn't have happened at a better time.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would want a game plan marching to the Stanley Cup based on the way they've played so far. Like, you're happy for them, and they've shown resiliency, and they deserve credit for sure. But, you know, all it takes is running to one team that's kind of got their shit together, and the Canucks don't get their bounces and those magical kind of last minute comebacks. All of a sudden, they're down to nothing in a series, and then they're in trouble. So that Game 5 was massive, and just in terms of seeing the team that we saw during the season, like, oh, they still have it. And again, a lot of that could be because of Shelov's, because the team was playing a bit too passive in front of them. And, like, the lineup that Tocca put together, like I said, like, that's, like, the lineup people have always kind of wanted. Like, everyone's like, why aren't we doing that? And so, like,
Bluger and Joshua and Garland were fucking lights out for a bulk of the season.
Yeah, that's a unit line, and Lindholm was kind of rediscovered, like, not really, but he's gotten a lot better. I think there was rumblings he was dealing with an injury, but, like, he's now starting to play better, and he's kind of a glue guy. Like, him coming up, Höglander, I can't believe Höglander hit that post.
I'll tell you right now, sir. I'll tell you right now. I don't know if you saw it, but when they were talking about how he gave his quote about how it was good for him to see it from above,
yeah,
and stuff, I posted a GIF of Sting watching from the rafters.
Yep, yeah.
I had it all ready to go. I'm like, he's going to score tonight. And then I've got this gif of him coming down from the rafters with his bat. And here comes Höglander. And I thought for sure I was going to get to use it there. Oh, my goodness gracious. I know. That was
His reaction was like, he put his hands up and then froze, like, wait, what? Like, he couldn't believe he hit the post.
It was like it was a glitch.
Yeah, yeah, right?
Yeah, like something's wrong with the code of the NHL.
Did that cat walk by twice? What happened?
That's weird. It made a weird sound, and the mesh didn't do anything, but...
But that line overall, like, they were, and again, Pettersson, like, even, like, shorthanded, he had that kind of picked off that pass in at center ice and kind of came in with a chance as well, like... The bar is low. Like, you still need a lot more from him. You still need him to be the Pettersson that everyone knows from the season. But, like, that was the first positive sign that maybe he's getting it together. And, again, you're giving him help by surrounding him with line mates, kind of, like, especially Lindholm. That's a huge boon to him, because that's PD's going to excel when his other smart player is playing with him. Like, that's just the way it is. Like, that's why he's done it so well with Kuzmenko and Goldobin. Like, that, for all their deficiencies defensively, they're offensive wizards. They are. They're really good at scoring, so they know where to go. Mikheyev, his entire thing is, like, he's the one-trick pony. I skate fast, and I don't really score, but I skate fast. He's not skating fast anymore, and he's not providing... Like, I have no idea why Tokic has had Mikheyev stapled to Pettersson's hip for this long. Like, it blows me
baffling.
Away.
Baffling.
I do not get it. So, like, I couldn't applaud a move more than what he did there, which is, like, let's just rejuvenate the lines, and it paid off in spades. And Pettersson, like... My favorite moment of the game was, let's talk about the reverse hit that was charging. Because for people who weren't at the game, like, the crowd was fucking amped. Because they're, you know, first period wasn't great. Second period, though, shit starts coming together. And, like, people are chanting, let's go PD. PD's having some good shifts. The team's fucking putting it together. You can tell Vancouver's
you're feeling it.
Yeah, Vancouver's fucking starting to bring it. Edmonton's looking panicked. They're scared. Piss run down their legs. They don't know what's going on. And then they fucking try and hit Pettersson, and he leans into it. And especially in the arena, like, you didn't see, it was really hard to tell that he did jump. He left the ice a little bit, but you couldn't really tell it. So all people saw at the arena was him fucking rocking a guy trying to hit him.
Yeah.
And that's where the big venom anger, everyone's like, what the fuck? Like, he literally got a penalty for fucking knocking a guy down who's trying to hit him. Like, bizarre. Then they start throwing the replays and stuff, and you see he left the ice a little bit, and you see people be like, by the rules, he jumped. The dude fucking turned around and, like, leaned to the hit a bit. He was... I've never seen someone get a charging call for standing still.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, if you think about the axis,
yeah,
he is purely existing on the y-axis, on the up and down. And yes, jumping into somebody, leaving your feet, however you want to say it, that's also, like, part of the x-axis.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's only existing in the y. Yeah, he's only existing in the fuck around axis, not in the find out.
Yeah.
And, like, okay, so watching it, because you were there, you were in press row, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I was there too. And yeah, same thing. When they called, I was fucking baffled.
Yeah.
And this came after that bullshit at the end of the period with the holding Myers' stick, and then they sent both of them.
And Myers,
right?
Like, gave him the weakest punch, and he fucking dropped like he got shot.
The fucking bullshit.
Yeah, and Mark's like, oh.
He fainted like he was a damsel.
Yeah, he, like, hand to his forehead. Oh.
I do declare. Yeah. Right? Like, and then questionable calls, right?
Yeah.
And I try to be very objective when I'm being a fan of the team. Not that every single call that goes against the Canucks is this horrible conspiracy and stuff. Sometimes, yeah, he fucking tripped him. Yeah, yeah. Stick should have been there. Maybe he's a bit soft, but yeah, he did it. He held a stick. He did it. That play, I was like, what in the fuck is happening? And then they showed the replay, and yeah, it was nuts. I had to throw my beer on the ice. I had to grab somebody else's beer and throw that. I ended up throwing four beers just myself.
Al had to tell you to calm down because you could be arrested.
And I screamed, you can't tell me what to do. You're not my dad, Al. So
it,
you can seriously,
yeah.
You can seriously hurt someone. I hope I do. Evander Kane, Corey Perry. Yeah, bad aim.
It was nutty because I think, again, that call. There's also a call after that as well where, like, Dakota Joshua got interference on McDavid. I kind of understood that because, like, he did make it too obvious.
He impeded him.
He did it.
But yeah. McDavid put extra Dijon mustard on that with, like, the fucking dive, and I wanted 100%. Both to go.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, soft interference has kind of been, you're going to see a lot of talk about that even more next season because we're kind of getting back to the old school days where you're not getting hooking, but you're getting a lot of picks and soft interference that people are letting go. Like, Edmund does it, Vancouver does it. So that's one of those cases where, like, sure, you can call that. That's fair enough. But you're also, that was very, like, selective, right? Like, because that's happened all game. You're just choosing now to call that one time, and it was because Connor fell. You're like, that's where it feels shitty, right? Like,
yeah.
Why are you calling that one?
Which
of all of them.
Yeah, and you keep trying to give them bullets in their gun, and they keep shooting blanks, and the Canucks keep handling it. And again, I feel like Edmonton, they're desperate for sure. So I'm, you know, have my concerns. But also, you got to wonder if that's, you know, a real backbreaker for them, that their power play is just coming up super, super lame. Matt Pettersson penalty. And it's crazy to see people have the Canucks side, right? Like, Canucks fan side. Like,
Tim Peel, of all fucking people.
That's when you know it is super fucked up. Yeah. When people are like, you keep whining about the refs. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Cry, cry, cry. Yeah, that was bullshit. You may be onto something.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, Ray Ferraro was like, thanks for sending me the rule, but I've been playing for 20 years, been around the game for 40. Like, I've never seen that in my life.
And,
right?
And I think I saw Quadrelli get into it with somebody briefly where, and it might not have been Quadrelli, but let's give him a plug anyways. Good guy. where, you know, someone was like, yeah, but it's the rule book. I hate seeing fucking snapshots of the rule book show up on my timeline on Twitter. Get the fuck out of here with that. But then Quadrelli is like, oh, okay, sure. But, like, can you name me another time where that's actually been called or enforced?
Yeah.
Like, it happens fucking every game. Like,
yeah, it was a very unique interpretation of the rule, and it was applied to Vancouver. And that's why Vancouver does have a kind of an issue with the refs. And 2011, it very fairly kind of created that. And then you see Gregory Campbell's teams always seem to do incredibly well in the playoffs, even
imagine
now.
That.
Shocking that they're doing so well. But, I mean, that was the great thing when Tony Gallagher came on the radio. It was like, so you're telling me that there's corruption in every part of the world, every business, there's always corruption, but the NHL has never once had corruption. That's incredible. Right? What a glorious.
Straight arrows all around, everything completely on the level.
Yeah, so there's a level where, you see that, the Pettersson, because that was, again, like, and people were so excited because they were, like, wanted to support Pettersson. He just laid out this fucking huge hit. And then he's getting penalized for it, right? So, like, the emotion of that moment was, that was wrestling. That was a heel turn.
And you see him double over, like, hands on his head, like, what? And then you see him sitting in the penalty box all confused and disappointed and scared.
Yeah.
What did I do? I did a good. Why
they chanted
am I
my
in
name.
The bad
I was
place?
Doing what they wanted.
was my scooter here?
Yeah.
He's scooting around the bowels of the arena in the intermission. Just let him be. He'll figure it out. Yeah, that was crazy. Man, the view of this fan base, we are so, so far back to, you don't like us, we don't care. I love seeing that stuff. Oh, you're a bunch of wannabes, the most toxic fan base and stuff. Yeah, that's right. Fuck you. Like, I think that's just amazing, and it's great to see. And that's a very Philly sports thing, too.
Well, I mean, 2011 and Green, everyone saw that. Really,
we remember.
Yeah, because everyone was against us. Boston plays the right way. I'll never forget the media coverage of 2011. So, you know, if you want to come along for the ride, no thank you. Sorry, don't need you.
Yeah.
This is our run.
They eliminated my Predators, so I'm going to cheer for the Oilers. Fuck you. It's over for you. Go home. Why are you still here?
Yeah.
The odd time I see a Predators person still chime in on my timeline, I was like, get the fuck out of here. Like,
yeah, you're not relevant.
Oh, classic Canucks, bunch of, yeah, no, you're done.
Yeah.
It's over for you. You can kindly fuck off into the night.
Yeah, we don't need you. And again, like, there's a lot of media. Like, I just want Vancouver, again, if they lose the third round, fine. I just need them to beat Edmonton.
I need that now, too.
I
came
that.
Into this going, like, well, hey, second round.
Happy
right?
to be here.
Happy to be here. Like, that year that the first Luongo year when they lost to Anaheim in round two. It was like, hey, progress, baby. It's all good. But I think from game one and just from dealing with the Oilers fans on Twitter, and God bless the rest of you who are fighting a good fight. I try not to get too involved in that sort of stuff and picking fights and try not to have that much conflict in my life. But there are folks, boots on the ground, absolutely going to war. Eddie Lack being one of them in a legendary fashion. Just some of the commentary and stuff that those asshats and also their old media has come with. I want this so fucking bad.
Their old media is just, like, you know, I think of myself, I'm biased at times, but their old media is incredibly biased. It's all, like, they're just best friends with fucking management. They don't give a shit. And they're almost shocked. Like, how could Edmonton be losing to this team? It's like, there's just a level of arrogance that they haven't thought. Again, you saw the media picks of, like, Edmonton. So you're kind of like, you just want to win it just for that alone. I want Zadorov to get the win because when you have a heel that's working that well, you don't want him to lose because that's tough to take. I also saw a lot of Edmonton fans laughing about how, like, they trucked Zadorov when he's on the Flames. And, like, it'll be easy. And, like, now I want them to eat those words. I want Zadorov to outscore Connor McDavid at 5-on-5 scoring in the playoffs. I want it so bad. So I need that victory over them. I really do. Like,
I don't want them to eat those words. I want him to feed them to them.
Feed them to them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Evander Kane, like that storyline itself is amusing. Kane versus Zadorov. Like, they hate each other and it is glorious.
Yeah.
There's so many subplots in this theory. And, like, Edmonton's getting beat up, man. Like, their players are hurt. Like, Vancouver is the team now that's bullying other teams.
What world is this?
Yeah. They're shout out to my bully crew. They're playing with the Angels and Isaacs right now.
That's right.
It's delightful to see.
And then, of course, shout out to He Who Believes, Ryan S. Clark.
Yeah, the one guy had her back.
The one guy. And even when that list came out and everyone's like, oh, fuck you people. People were championing Ryan S. Clark for that, and his article about Shelobs, which was excellent, by the way. But it's like everyone just falling over themselves to retweet this guy, to support this guy. I saw, I think, Sarah Sivian come out and, like, give some positive commentary on, like, Canucks Twitter and stuff like that. Yep. Like, safe passage through our lands. Like, the respect that we have for people that respect the culture around the fandom, it's so powerful.
Yeah, I think that was the funniest thing I saw before. I don't know who said it, but, like, Twitter, like, Edmonton social media is not ready for Canucks Twitter. Like, we're just a different beast. Like,
yeah,
we just have so much more, like, creativity and numbers, and, like, they're not ready for us. Like, it's glorious. Like, I'm weighing in there fucking shutting people down. Like, I'm getting a chirp fest with people. I'm like, fuck it, let's just go.
I'll be happy to hopefully be rid of those folks. And you know what? Like, here's the thing. This is the Nashville people or whatever. If the Canucks get knocked out from Edmonton, I'm not going to be, jumping around, go, oh, fuck Edmonton, and, like, dogging them throughout. Like, hey, okay, you won. On to the next one. I wish you well.
Yeah,
like,
we're done. We're out now.
I wouldn't want them to win because I, Boston Pizza can get fucked with their, oh, cheer for other Canadian teams.
Yeah, fuck
Did
that.
You see the man on the street or person on the street piece they did at the Canuck game in the concourse? I think it might have been yesterday.
No, I didn't see that. What was it?
It was like, if, your team gets knocked out, they're asking fans, like, will you cheer for the other team, continue on the Cup playoffs? And there are some people who said, oh, yeah, absolutely. And some people, like, mostly Canuck fans, like, fuck no. And they're blurring it, right? Like, they had to censor it. Fuck no.
That's
no
2011 changed us.
Oh, yeah. It's radicalized us. Yeah. It's us or it's fucking nobody.
Yep.
There was one guy that, like, perfectly echoed my sentiment. He was like, well, If it was Montreal or Winnipeg, yeah, kind of. But aside from that, no, definitely not anybody else. Mm-hmm. And even then, like when Montreal was in the finals, was it the bubble playoffs?
Yeah.
I was like, nah. I changed my mind. It's us or it's nobody. Mm-hmm. And I will be so hard actively rooting against the Oilers moving forward. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves and get cocky and all that stuff. But Wyatt, question for you. Who do you start in game one against the Rangers? Shelobs or Demko?
Well, I mean, obviously you go Casey DeSmith. Just throw a wrench in the...
Yeah. Rangers aren't going to know what hit them.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a great card. Like, if it goes, say Edmonton wins, like, handily. Let's say they finally get through. They get a 5-1 win. You've got Demko ready to possibly go game seven. Like, is he, you know, good to go? Or has he got a bit of rust on him? Or, like, is he 90%? You still put him in there. Like, what do you do?
It's so tough because Shelobs is the reason they are where they are right now. Clear as day. Right, we're not scoring four or five goals. Like Shelobs is holding them in there for sure,
yep.
and he's hot right now. But what could it possibly do to his confidence? Because we don't really necessarily know what a bounce back for Shelobs looks like because he hasn't necessarily struggled yet. So yeah, if he does let in five goals, do you let the fact that he's done so well up to this point carry him through, or you're like, no, we actually have one of the three best goalies in the entire league / world. We got to go to our stud. We got to go to our guy who would be admittedly rusty and cautious, maybe coming off of whatever mysterious injury this is. Like, and you know what? I'd love to. Let's just avoid that. Let's just win the game.
Game is six. Yeah, it's not making an issue.
And then let's have a hearty debate about who starts game one of round three if it comes to that.
Yeah, I think that's the best way. But I think there's a level of like, it's the Wayne Gretzky theory. You go in your shield. Because if you put in Demko and you lose, you might get a bit of pushback. But if you go with Shelobs, there'll be a lot more
noise. What are you doing? It. This guy's nominated for the Vezina. And he wins the Vezina. They'll be like, whoa, we would have fucking loved to put him in the... Why don't you play him in the playoffs, idiots? Like,
yeah.
They need to win. Like, they need to beat the Oilers, whether it's in six or seven.
Crush Edmonton and Edmonton, and let's get the fuck out of there.
That's what before going to the game yesterday, I was talking to one of my managers at work, and I was just like, here's what I... He was like, oh, I'd like to see them win it at home. And I'm like, you shut your goddamn mouth.
You fucking never say that.
You shut your fucking mouth. We don't say that again.
You slap someone who says that.
And I'm like, no, that's not what I want to see happen. I want to see them win tonight, and then they go into that barn in Edmonton, and they rip those people's fucking hearts out there.
Yeah.
That's what I want. Fuck them.
I want their fans crying on TV.
While they're Canucks fighting celebrate. Each other.
Yep.
Bunch of dinguses. And then hopefully if we get to the third round, maybe these Nashville people will fuck off.
Maybe they'll finally go away. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, yeah. And then we can also separate our temporary alliance with the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, that's true.
We will one day remember that we stood together as brothers.
It's funny. I'm seeing like some Edmonton fan, like a red, like and Calgary fans, like you know, we don't like Calgary, but their fans treat us with respect, right? And I'm like, no, they
fucking crazy. That's
there's no respect.
Like these are people who are shell shocked by what's happening with the Vancouver fans.
Yeah, where they can't handle our heat.
You know what? Calgary's not that bad, actually. It's a battle of Alberta. We don't have a battle between us and either of those teams. You do have a fucking deck. It's Hatfields and McCoys. You got a decades-long blood feud between your two franchises, and now all of a sudden you're like, Calgary's not so bad when you think about it. We got you shook.
Yeah, they can't handle our fan, but honestly, they cannot handle our fan base. Like, they are just, like, blown away, because all they can fall back on, like, half the time is racism. Like, well, good job, Edmonton. Like, you can do better than that.
And then also I see chirps about, like, oh, living in mom's basement suite because you can't afford this and that. It's like, well, guess what? It costs more to eat at the Keg than it does to eat at McDonald's. Yeah. So it is wonderful here in BC, and that shit's going to cost you. Is it too expensive? Of course it is. But, like, you know, I just love people also dumping on the fact that Edmonton is a, you know, fucking shithole.
It's cost of living is very low there because no one wants to live there.
Like, yeah.
That's how it fucking
They'll
works.
Pay like, you to go live there.
Yeah.
Come on over.
They don't have power yet. Once they get electricity and they figure shit out, they're going to realize that the cost of living goes a bit higher.
And I think I had said it like a week or so ago. I was like, why are we debating the merits of cities, Vancouver versus Edmonton? That's not a fair fight. Like, it should be Surrey versus Edmonton. And even then, Surrey clears heartily.
Oh, Surrey like, wins.
It's fucking Ladner versus Edmonton if we're talking about it. Maybe Abbotsford. Even Abbotsford's got Tommy.
I'll give him Langley.
Yeah, all right, yeah. Just to see that maybe
Sorry,
Edmonton, you know, Edmonton, maybe you're better than Langley. All right. It's just so nice to have conversations like this and have all these games like matter. As much as this, like, these one-goal games are taking years off my life.
They're stressful.
And I forget to breathe when the Canucks are in the defensive zone and, you know, Draisaitl is circling around with the puck and everything like that. Like, it's just great that this means everything again. Like, I think about sports regular season comparables to like the playoffs in terms of like the little moments.
Yeah.
And I think like hockey is huge in terms of like every zone clear, right? Every icing call that goes your way, or, oh yeah, fuck, you get fired up for it, right? Really innocuous kind of plays that happen. I think the king of that is maybe playoff baseball. Comparatively to like regular season baseball, where like every strike and every ground ball, every out matters, I'd say right below that, like playoff hockey. All these, when a penalty gets called, it's a fucking event. It's a seismic shift.
Yeah, I mean, especially in this Edmonton series where it feels like that was the thing. Every single penalty, you're like, oh, this is going to put the game away. Like, they're going to score. Like, this is what happened. So it felt like there's so much pressure on that. And even, like, we were talking about, like, you know, when it was the third period and, like, they were just taking shots to the point. Like, Party was like, oh, my God, what if that one just dribbles in? Like, you're just kind of on edge, even though Vancouver's holding all the play. So there's just a different beast in the playoffs. You kind of watch and everything kind of, it's like, you know, gets way more intense. Like, even, like, watching Philip DiGiuseppe getting that spinorama goal, like, I was like, media row had their mouths agape. We're all like, what did we just see? Because that fourth line hasn't scored goals in forever. Like, they when they hold themselves above water, when they make sure they're not giving up scoring chances, that's a good day for the fourth line.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they hand well.
Do
the
your
shift.
Job.
That's good. When they score a goal, and they were pushing the pace. Like, they were matched. There were times when the McDavid was out there and PDG was out there, and you're like, he did okay. Like, he actually got the puck back into the zone and was taking the puck to the net. And, like, if the Canucks get a fourth line going and if they get Pettersson going again, like, Edmonton is hooped, honestly. Like, their goaltending, Pickard was a fun little story, but, like, yeah, they could maybe counter, oh, Shelov is the same way, but Shelov is still a young goaltender coming to his own, I think, and he's a 6'3" goalie. Size matters. Pickard is a smaller goalie, and he's a journeyman, and, like, he gave up a lot of rebounds, and the Canucks pressure him. Like, he was not, like, he looked panicked in net. He was a bit, like, he kind of reminded me a bit of Casey DeSmith, another small goalie that I kind of, like, worry, like, you know, if you get to him, he's a small goalie, he's kind of shifty in there, like, you do worry about
jittery.
That, so. Yeah, jitters. He's got the jitters, right? In net. You're kind of worried. So, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if they go with Skinner for the next game because, like, that's their guy. They kind of get him going again. But Skinner's numbers have been fucking on par with Dan Kluche against Vancouver. He's been absolutely terrible. He looks slow in net. Like, again, anything can happen. Like, you know, I'm not taking anything for granted. Edmonton could 100%, like, David catch fire. They could come back and win it. But just in terms of if you're looking at it, like, just, like, logistically, like, Vancouver's got a lot of things that could go their way that they could take the series. And, like, if I'm Edmonton, I'm worried about my defense. I'm worried about my goaltending. Like, they really are a top-heavy team. Like, they did a smart thing. They split up the Nurse and CeCe pairing, which was fucking bleeding chances. It was terrible. And that helped kind of shelter them, Nurse, a bit more. But you saw last night, like, they're when you pressure them, like, their defense, if it's not Bouchard and Ekholm on the ice, they're in trouble. And again, Quinn Hughes, I get it. Like, that's kind of me ironic saying with Quinn Hughes. But I think Zadorov and Meyer stepping up with their game has been massive for this team. And even Hronek, who I've been a big critic of, that was probably his best game
that
in the series.
That was, without a question, his best game of the series. And he's been someone who now that, okay,
McKay, he was a passenger. Like, let's admit it.
Clear as day. My mom, by the way, big crush on Rick Tocchet.
Oh, yeah. Hey, me too. Join the club.
we're sitting there, and then he's doing a little post. They're showing clips of, like, post-game press conference and stuff like that, and she's just like, oh, my goodness, he is a handsome man. He is my type. And then she called him. This is what she called him. He is, I'm telling you, he is a hubba bubba.
A hubba bubba, yeah.
And I was like, well, let's see, because we've called him Stepdad Rick before. I don't know what his marital status is. I think he's divorced.
Yeah, I think he's available.
Kelly Bowman's a great fucking lady. So,
we just say, wouldn't it be crazy if he ended up being your stepdad,
Rick? Be the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Hey, Rick, it's funny. Listen to this podcast episode from when you took over from Bruce Boudreau, and we called you Stepdad Rick.
What are the odds?
What are the odds that you would actually become my stepdad?
That'd be amazing.
I'd love that so much.
Well, that's the thing. Even, like, talking, like, his entire aura with his team has been just so calming and relaxing. Like, you do get, like, again, there's a lot of Canuck baggage when you're watching, but, like, I extend this to Angie as well. Like, part of you kind of believes that this team's not going to fall, like, under that spell of the old days. Like, you're like, you know what? I think this team could close out in six. Or in the past, they'd be like, it's going to game 7 no matter what.
Yep.
But I actually think there's a good chance they close out in six, and I would never think that before.
I believe that tomorrow could be a wide open game as far as the score.
Yeah, like, I could got see all like this a 5-2 heat, game momentum, way.
Yeah, like it hasn't happened for the Canucks yet, but if there was ever a time with the adjustment they've made and with people getting their confidence back and some fires being lit under some people, it could be game six.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like that's it's a testament to the team and the way they're coached and, you know, not just talking, but even having like I think having – we've talked about it before, but there's such a difference between having like Adam Foote and Sergei Gonchar teaching your defense versus fucking Nolan Baumgartner. Like, no offense, Jason King, but like having these guys that are like...
No, offense! Offense! We watched years of shitty defensive hockey.
And again, I'm not saying like a skilled player makes a great coach automatically, but just having like them in position coaches, I think really does help, right?
Yeah.
Like that's like in football. These guys know positions. They can help out. Like that's, you're saying that. I think Moj is telling me the same thing. Like Moj is kind of talking about how like that football mentality is starting to get into hockey. Is the old days, you just go do your fucking corner drills, go about your day. And like Moj is like, now you've got like the defensive group working on defensive drills. You've got board battles. Like there's so much individual one-on-one special drills they're doing in today's game. Like that's a massive difference than it was in the old days where you just go out and vibe, right? Like,
yeah.
And you know that's he was right. Like that's what it feels like. Now you've got like, so if you have a guy like Foote teaching you the tricks of how to fucking like keep body positioning. So like there's no fucking like surprised that Tyler Myers and Zadorov have like excelled under, you know, someone like having Adam Foote out there,
or yeah,
even like Sergei Gonchar helping someone like Quinn Hughes and Hronek, like having these guys that can impart knowledge of how they played their game, like that has to help a lot, right? Like, and I think there obviously there's a level, like I think someone like Gretzky, who's just inherently good, would come in, but like just fucking make a good pass. Like he might not get it, but I think
people, why is this so difficult for you people? I did this like 900 yeah. times. Get
just
an
score.
Assist. Yeah,
let's fucking put it top corner. What are we, top cheddar? What are we doing here?
Yeah.
But I do think there are certain coaches, like especially people like Foote, who's dedicated himself to coaching, like who can impart their knowledge in a good way. Like that is a skill in itself that are like really helping, and especially. It feels like with the team, how they have had like these individual drills, they are setting things up. They are having everyone kind of learn. Like there's just such a marked difference. Again, we all love Bruce Boudreau in that era, but he was very much a go out and vibe kind of guy. And that was refreshing at the time. Like, cool. At least we see our offensive players play, but there wasn't structure. Travis Green had no offense and no structure. So it was the worst of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, what? Why can't we get anything?
Let's
Travis?
Keep going. What was Willie D? What did Willie D bring to you?
Willie D was even worse. He literally just ran the lines in rotations and was shocked when he found out the Sedins played like 14 minutes in game one of the playoffs. He's like, what? Like, he was just rotating lines. Like,
we're going to go one, then two, then three, then four.
Yeah, that's it. Go whiteboard, just one, two, three, four. All right, boys, there's the plan.
All right, we got to make some adjustments. We're down four here, so we're going to go two, then three, then four, then back yeah. to two, then one, then three. Coaching.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, like, that thing, like, there's a level of structure. I think, again, like, coaches that can bring in structure, I think, in today's game, it helps a lot. And obviously, end of the day, you need skill players. Like, you know, to not Travis Green's credit, but there was a lot less of a team around him than nowadays. And nowadays, they do have, like, you know, better players. But, you know, like, they've taken strides in their game that I don't think they would have taken under other coaches. And that's why you've got to give this coaching staff credit, because, like, they've created a team that people want to play for. The players talk glowingly about the coaching staff here. You know, I think the players respect the fuck out of Rick Tocchet. I don't think there was a problem in the room with Horvat and stuff, but I do think that Miller has kind of taken up a bigger role, because before it was Horvat's team, but I think Miller has kind of stepped up and brought his bit of asshole arrogance to the team, but a good way, like accountability, but also because
yeah.
he's accountable to himself as well. Like he'll call himself out, right? Like that's why everyone loves him.
Yeah.
So he's kind of taken a bigger role as well, and I think Quinn Hughes has kind of done his thing. So I think what I'm trying to say is that Bo Horvat was the problem.
Yeah.
And yeah. Because we're the Islanders, right?
Which
we're the
I
Islanders.
Think that's what we set out to establish. Like, this is a serial podcast, Trust the Process. And I think that's what we set out to establish in the pilot episode.
Yeah.
Was over the course of the last six, 7 years that we've been doing this, that Bo Horvat was the problem.
Hold the team back the entire
yeah,
time.
And I think we've led it. Well, I think it was Zadorov maybe today who said, or somebody I saw a comment on Twitter that says regarding Miller, he drives the bus.
He does in so many ways. Like he is, and again, I've said before, like there was a level of like, I think JT Miller is a fantastic winner, but a bad loser. I think on a bad
team,
he can
yeah,
be,
that's great.
He can
insight,
be a bit
yeah.
much, right? Like I don't, but he has, like he himself, I think he has matured, because that's kind of followed around like the maturity around his career. And I think he has matured. He himself pointed out, like he knew not to get too down on himself. I think initially after the game, he was fucking like in his fucking drawers. He was really sad, but he bounced back. Like the fact he came back has such a big game. Like he knows not to get too down. And I think he is learning. You know, I bet you Rick Tocchet is helping a lot with in terms of leadership, because he, again, like we saw during the bad times, he's yelling at poor Colin Delia, like he's like, and he's trying to, like, he's you know, heart's in the right place, but just like, again, that's the bad loser part of thing.
Yeah.
And I think if the team did get bad for a while, I think he would be better at handling the losing But I do think there is a level of, like, when the team is winning, like, JT Miller is such a good fucking player to have around.
Yeah.
Because, like, he can lead you and emotionally bring you from the down, like, bring you up, and he has been doing that.
Yeah. And regarding the accountability piece, we kind of referenced, like, the text or whatever that he had sent, the apology text or the accountability text. I've got some comments that Jay Swing had pulled that we can pop in here for that in case people are maybe not necessarily aware. Let's drop that in.
Two nights ago, you were pretty hard on yourself. Rick said that you sent him a text apologizing for how you played and then to have such an important role here. What did that mean to just turn that around?
Well, I have faith in myself. I mean, I speak honestly with you guys, whether it's good or bad. And didn't really just like my game the other night, you know, at the end of the day. And I thought that kind of transitioned into being the reason we got scored on late in the game. So, I mean, you know, I was honestly evaluating myself. And then, you know, yesterday and today, I was just got focused and just thought as a team, we all played a solid hockey game today.
JT Miller out there selling jerseys. I said to myself, I didn't say it out loud. I just kept it in my head. But I said when that game was tied late in game five, whoever scores this goal and gives my mom this win, they're selling a jersey. So I will have a JT Miller jersey as a result of the events of game five. And
or you get her a Flyers talking jersey.
He could probably just get one himself out of the closet. Yeah, you know, hey, I got this old jersey here, Kelly.
No, I think Jay, that's a good choice. JT Miller, again, there's just so many legends being done in these playoffs and kind of raising the bar. Brock Besser's, we haven't talked about him, and he's been fantastic, right? Like, it's just been tremendous to watch. And
yeah,
Garland himself has been
yes.
He's like, he was able to like make cuts like Quinn Hughes last night. He was like finding ways to get to the net. Like, I was like, holy shit, this guy is fucking dialed in. And it's just, it's a lot of fun because everything matters now, man. Like, we're not sitting here hyping up a game 32 win, right? Like, it's this is the playoffs.
This is the real shit. This is one step away from the conference finals. Yeah. And I forget what it was. I wish I had it in front of me, but just as it came up in conversation. But the JT Miller quote, I think it was after the Nashville series or earlier on in the playoffs, where he was talking about like potentially being somewhere else and said something to the effect of like, why would I want to be somewhere else? Like, when this is what like I've been looking for, this is what I've been like waiting for or something. It's like,
that was like something about the Notebook.
Fuck yeah, it was.
How can you write to us, JT?
Obviously, I'm not going to hindsight it and go, I was always 1,000% behind the guy at all times. And when he was doing, you know, frustrating things and stuff, I was like, oh, he'll get there. Like, I've never always been like a JT Miller guy. Well, people are out there hindsighting the trade and their reactions and stuff, where it's like, okay, that's all well and good. But I think my stance on it, we were pretty aligned on that, was good move, but is this the right time? Like, can they, like, I love the move, but with this team and stuff, they've grown into that. Thankfully, it took Benning, who I know ironically brought him in, to kind of go, and then some good people to come in to build a team around him. But, like, I love that dude now, man. Like, I do. And I haven't always loved JT Miller on the Canucks, but no, I'm fully converted. Absolutely.
I mean, he's got older brother vibes with his fan base. Like, we fight and we go back and forth and get mad, but end of the day, like, he's got our back and we've got his. Like, that has been fucking embedded from this playoff run to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a really, really good way to put it. And that totally sums up and articulates how I feel. I've loved the playoffs as well because the looming free agency hierarchy keeps kind of shifting. Start of the playoffs, you're like, oh, it'd be nice to like bring back Zadorov as well. And then halfway through that Nashville series, it's like, you cannot afford to lose him.
You cannot let him go.
No.
You cannot. Yeah.
Again, I got jerseys at the ready to push purchase as soon as any sort of extension comes. And what I see floating around today is probably just people just throwing shit out there, but like 6x6?
Oh, my God. No, that's too much. Milstein, Dan Milstein, calm the fuck down. You fucking relax, buddy. Like, Zadorov, apparently, by all accounts, loves the city. His family loves living here. You've got to have a bit of wiggle room. Like, if you're going for a cup, you got, like, back in the 2011 core, they gave a bit. Everyone's got to give a little bit if you want to keep it going. So hopefully he does. Again, if he prices himself out, it is what it is. At least he went out on a fucking home run highlight.
Yeah, I will. You know what? You'll come back with, you know, a member of the Columbus Blue Jackets.
That shitty team will pay for
the Utah Wet Spots or whatever you called them earlier. And you know what? You'll get your little video board tribute. I'll stand up. I'll salute you. I'll be happy to see you again, and I'll wish you well for the rest of your career. But, imagine if he, like, takes lower than he could get. That's a Tyler Myers thing, too, is because someone will overpay for him, because we did. But I hope, You don't see it a lot in sports as much, but I really hope with the culture that Tockett, and not just Tockett, but like Rutherford and Alvin and like the whole up and down of the organization, that people realize there's these players, there's something here. And yeah, I can go and get the bag in term and, you know, play in San Jose for a couple of years or whatever, like all well and good, but these folks, I think, at the end of the day, also want to compete and they want to win. And I really feel like the Canucks, regardless of what happens this year, are very much on the upswing and would like to see a Lindholm or, you know, a Joshua or these people who have been pricing themselves out. Maybe, like you said, have some wiggle room there. Hronek can go.
Yeah, I think Hronek's the one like that's going to be tough because there's also the rumors that maybe he's been injured. So that's always the thing when someone's struggling. Yeah, guys, he's injured, but... Mm-hmm. Hronek, I think, first half of the season, I love what he did. There's a lot of value, like we said, same thing with Pettersson, with having a guy that can think the game. He's not as skilled as the other guy, but he can think the game on the same level.
Yeah.
And that's what Hronek does with Quinn Hughes. Like, he did bring out a lot of Quinn Hughes. But looking at the playoffs, just seeing, again, there's we've talked about for years, like, you know, size does matter in the playoffs, and we're seeing it again. Like, and Myers and Zdorov have played well. And obviously, you're going to have to debate, like, how much do you want to invest in a small sample size? How much do you want to say that this guy can do it again? But, like, that's where these guys get these contracts. Because if you sign someone like Zdorov and Myers, and you get in the playoffs for the next 3 years, you're just hoping to hit off in 1 year, have a year like they're having now. Like, if they do that once, that pays for the contract, right? Like, you're hoping they come through. So that's kind of what it's going to be. Like, who are the guys come through? Like, I'm really, really starting to like Lindholm's game. I think he's just a really cerebral player.
Yeah.
Like, that's a guy that I want in your top six for sure.
Physical, right? A lot more physical than I thought he would be.
He fucking torpedoed himself into the boards one game to try to kill a guy. Like, I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, there's a lot of guys you kind of want to keep, and obviously you're going to lose some, but I do hope that they've built a winning culture here and that players want to buy in and they like what Rick's done. And, you know, Fairfax, if you're sitting there going, man, I've never played this good in my life, I want to cash in now because I don't know if I'll play this well again. Fair
Dakota Joshua, maybe.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. Yeah. You want to make your bag?
We both know, and you folks listening know exactly who we're talking about.
Yeah. And, fair, you know, again, same thing. I'll salute you. Have a good time. You did fantastic. And that's where it comes. Like, that's the fucking circle of life in the NHL. Now it's up to the pro scouting department to find the next guy that people passed on.
Yeah,
and find him and insert him into the lineup, right? So that's just kind of how it goes.
Yeah, we're kind of coming to the end of it here. It's been great to have this chat with you. Have you been in any of the watch parties? I guess not because you're working on Stanchies during that stuff.
Right,
but the watch parties have been absolutely amazing and incredible. Today I was fortunate enough to somehow fucking get two tickets, but I was on Ticketmaster at the bottom of the tail end of the Y2J countdown, and yeah, man, the bots, the resellers, all that stuff. I just want to say, if you are doing that, go fuck yourself.
Yep.
This is for charity, and this is for folks who cannot afford.
Yes.
Jen was looking at like round three ticket prices starting at like 500 bones, and it's like, can you imagine dropping that and they lose like 2-0? I'd throw up. I'm a frugal person. I would probably vomit.
I'm very grateful that I get to see the games for free. I do pay a price that I can't celebrate it like I normally would. Like, I have to be very unbiased and watch objectively. But just seeing the atmosphere and kind of experiencing these moments. Like, should they ever win a cup? And I got to be in the media scrums after that and stuff. Like, that's a core memory for me. Like, I was part of that run in terms of getting to, like, experience it every step of the way. Like, that's...
Get your goggles.
It's so crazy.
You need to get your goggles for the room.
Yeah, exactly. Like, me and Dan Murphy getting goggles.
Gogs up, boys!
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's a level where it's, like, I'm still a bit surreal that, like, I'm down there watching these guys do these press conferences and I'm at the arena and stuff. Like, so it's been a lot of fun, even if it has been an awful lot of work.
Yeah. I got to say a couple other things here. You getting in there calling out Spectre for being a, you know, clickbait hunting piece of shit. Fantastic work. And I know I see it. I know you see it pop up a lot on Twitter while, you know, this playoff run is happening. People obviously missing a very large void that will never be filled really in this market with Jason Botchford. But I got to say, man, you with the work you're doing with the Stanchies and also like jumping in there and kind of being that voice and not being afraid to say, hey, you know what? You don't get this market. Like, you're just trying to troll. So go fuck yourself. It's really great stuff to see. So I give you a little hat tip for that.
Yeah, fucking defend this market, man. Again, it's we fight each other, but anyone else, you're not allowed to fight.
It's family here.
Yeah.
It's family here. We don't always get along, but goddamn it, if outsiders start coming in, you get you.
No. Yep, get out.
Well, we're not going to cheer for you. Good. We don't want you. Fuck you.
Didn't ask you to.
And then also, Wyatt, we'd be remiss if we didn't take this opportunity to dance on the grave of the Boston Bruins.
Oh, that was glorious. Just knowing, again, we talked about it on the show before. they've obviously won a cup. We can't change that. But that was when Brad Marchand was a bit player. I know, and you know, if when you're a star player, you want to win the cup. So you can be like, I was the one that did a lot of heavy lifting. That means something. That's a different level that I carried this fucking team. It hurts him every time he loses that he was, because like, if he won 2011, he wasn't a big player. He was part of
fucking
it.
Fucking Tim Thomas and Zdeno Chara.
Yeah. Yeah, and Bergeron. Like, they're leading the charge there. Yeah. So this is like, Marchand wants to win. They want his team. He wants to do it. He keeps fucking losing. It is fantastic to watch.
It's great. They lost to the Panthers. Great to see the Panthers move on. Obviously, you're kind of east.
Go Luongo.
You're looking east. You're cheering Luongo, right? You want good things to happen for that man, so there's still someone to root for in the east. And, you know, the Toronto-Boston series, either way, like, whoever knocks the other one out, okay, but I hope you get rolled up in the next round. So thank you to the Florida Panthers for handling business. There were memes already and great crowd shots of some sad Boston Bruins fans. And I love that it happened there. Rip their fucking hearts out.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, good.
Yes. It's like, I want, like, a picture-in-picture of the fucking Moss Pit or Ice Town or whatever the hell they're calling Edmonton's little watch party group or whatever. Give me a picture-in-picture when the Canucks are just filling the net in Game 6. I don't mind seeing the Canucks a bit smaller if I can also, like, feed off of that misery and pain, because we've been through enough of it, and, you know, fuck them. Fuck them.
It's us against the world, baby.
Us against the world. Wyatt. Thanks, man. Thanks for taking the time and chatting. I'm not sure when we'll get a chance to sit down and break down. Maybe we'll do a preview of Vancouver versus Dallas. We'll see. It's happening, baby. Believe. How can you not believe
six.
In this
it's
group?
It's not going past Game 6. I'm going to say it. It's not going past Game 6.
Yeah. It ends. It ends tonight.
It ends in a few hours.
Way to bring that back. We're going to close out with there have been a lot of, like, you know, Canuck songs and jinx songs and all that sort of stuff and your game nights and whatnot. The one that came out, which is exactly what these things should be, the I'm not going to call it, it's the soft cover of Where the Streets Have No Name.
Okay.
Have you heard that one? The McDavid Sucks?
You're right. I have that. That one's amazing. Yeah,
it's
that is
fucking
a really good
incredible.
One.
It's art. It's perfect. And it's all these things like should be. Not trying to get themselves over. Really? Right? Like, I still don't even really know who's responsible for that.
That's the perfect level of, like, that's the perfect song to do where it's, like, it's so obviously dumb, but, like, in an amusing way. Like, they're not trying to, like, be smarmy. It's just a stupid, like, and it hits hard.
It hits so hard. And it also works in a Messier Sucks and Boston Bruins Suck, too.
The Canucks.
I can't tell you the amount of times since that song came out that I've just been walking down the street, going to work, going to whatever, and I've just had in my head, the Canucks fucking rule.
Good stuff.
So we'll
I want to say also a shout out to the fucking Nathan Fielder. He's my favorite. He's my Mount Rushmore comedian.
That was on my thing to mention.
He's at
as well.
The fucking. I was so fucking excited that Nathan Fielder was there.
I was gonna text you that he was there, but I'm like, no, Wyatt's here. He knows this is happening because I marked out. I was one of the only people in my section to be like, oh my god, Nathan Fielder. And then it was like, oh, he doesn't look happy to be here. I'm like, no, that's his fucking thing. He's a genius.
He's a genius. He is a fucking genius.
There are several people I've mentioned that I feel are comedic geniuses. Will Forte being one of them. Nathan Fielder to me is absolutely in that marquee of, like, he is a comedic genius. So the shtick that he did with looking disinterested, not wanting to be there, which he's done before, I think, at, like, baseball games and stuff.
Yeah, Mets game.
And the next time he's on, he's got his JT Miller jersey, and he's got his little sign says, the refs have a tough job, don't boo them. Yeah. Fucking, and him himself getting booed and getting that heat. The people I was with, are like, you see? He's a genius! And then at the end of the game, I was outside the team store, and he fucking walked by me and walked into the team store.
Oh my god!
He had, like, I guess a person that works with the team escorting him and all that kind of stuff to stop people from rightly mobbing him and telling him how brilliant he is. But I saw you just walked past me and, like, walked into the team store, and I'm like, is he doing a bit? I guess, like, you know, he's Andy Kaufman-esque. But, like,
oh, yeah,
not,
100, good call.
Yeah, not, like, super, super far off and, like, weird. But, man, the guy's comedic genius for sure. And then Sarah Chalk being in the house. I'm a big Scrubs guy.
Not my Becky.
Not your Becky. You're a Lacey Gordon person. And then dude from White Lotus, who was like, oh, okay, yeah, a guy from White Lotus. And then he flips his phone around and has the refs you suck on his phone.
Oh, yeah, that got a pop,
I stood
eh?
Up and I started waving my towel for him.
Yep.
Albie from season 2 of White Lotus. So,
yep.
Things are good. Things are fun. McDavid sucks. Draisaitl sucks. I'll let these folks tell you. Thank you very much for joining us, Wyatt. Thank you so much. And go Canucks, go. On to Game 6. Let's do it.
McDavid sucks. Draisaitl sucks. Zach Hyman sucks. Evan Bouchard sucks. Evander Kane sucks. Ryan Nugent Hopkins sucks. Yeah, the Oilers suck. Oh, yeah. Well, the Oilers suck. Yeah, the Oilers suck. Well, the Bruins also suck. Messier sucks. But you know who doesn't suck? The Canucks don't suck. No, the Canucks fucking rule. Oh, yeah, yeah.
This was a special edition of Trust the Playoffs.
Anytime is a good time for the swear word party.
You know what I mean? We trust the process.
That's right!